Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hello, Quakers, and welcome to another episode of the QuakeCast. It's me, RC, and with me as always...
Dump Truck DS here.
That's right. And today we have a bit of a almost a segmented show, I guess you could call it, because later on in the episode, we do have a follow-up interview with our man, Ionis, who was our first guest in episode 2 of the QuakeCast. He's got a very, very special announcement that we will get to. But first, Dump Truck, yeah, we're going to be talking about another video game series that is, I think, somewhat near and dear to us. I don't know about the Quake community, but... No.
Too bad if it isn't. Hey, listen.
I know, I agree.
Hey, listen. Hey, listen. Yeah, that's right. Listen. We just Googled if there were any Zelda and Quake crossovers, and unfortunately there's a Doom mod for Zelda, but nothing for Quake, and I think it's high time we kind of, someone out there, you know, within the sound of my voice changes that, because we found one Quake 3 model for... you know, from Zelda, from the Zelda series. And it's it's a tantalizing thought to combine two of our favorite, two of our favorite IPs into one. But anyway, I digress. We're here to talk about Zelda.
And you're right about genres too. I mean, it is like an action RPG type of game versus Quake, which is just action RPS or FPS, you know, it's just that too. super. Yeah. So I don't know.
What would an RPS be?
I don't know.
Role-playing shooter.
Yeah, there you go. That works. So that's what we need, guys. Let's make the RPS. That's what I was trying to say.
Exactly. Well, I will say that one of my Quake maps was inspired by, of course, now I'm going to forget the damn name, Dodongo's Belly or whatever the heck it was from Ocarina of Time, you know, that where you can go inside the...
Oh, yeah.
Jabu Jabu. You go into Jabu Jabu's belly and you're inside of his stomach in Ocarina of Time. And I did a Quake level that was sort of inspired by that, actually.
Oh, that's pretty great.
It was a jam level. It was like jam 182, I think.
I'm going to have to go back to that because I probably played it and didn't even know. But yeah, before we get ahead of ourselves, yeah, me and Dump Truck have just been talking lately. And for some reason, Zelda has just, it just keeps coming up as we're talking in conversation. So we figured, you know, let's do a quick chat about some Zelda stuff, you know, some Zelda memories, games we like, that kind of thing. And, you know, hopefully for some of you out there who have not played Zelda or maybe aren't the biggest fans of it, maybe this will convert you over to maybe try one of them, because it really is a great series of games.
So that begs the question, if you had to recommend one Zelda game, and just being fair to the entire series, because it's a giant series, what would your choice be, RC?
Ooh, that is a great question, but a tough one. Yeah. Because as you know, Zelda, you got both frames of reference, right? You have the over-the-top, you know, 2D style games where, mm-hmm. you know, you're kind of traveling from screen to screen, up, down, left, right. And then you have the completely 3D games. So,
right.
It really depends on the person. But if I had to pick, I don't know, the newest Breath of the Wild game is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I agree. I think it just depends on who you're talking to and what kind of game they like. But I, you know, Zelda's always on my radar, and I at least have a hand in I play all of them, but I don't finish them. You know, that's my problem. But Breath of the Wild, it took me a long time to kind of carve out some time to sit down and play it. And I did play it on the Wii U. I did not finish it. Obviously, I've got a ways to go. I'm still pretty early on in discovering the temples and everything. But I will say it was awesome, because if you, on the surface of it, just looks like Skyrim and Zelda, but that is not really the case.
Yeah.
It's open world, but then from that point on, it's so familiar and so accessible to a fan of the series. I'd have to say that's the one I'd say is kind of a must play. For the 3D versions. I mean, I loved Wind Waker. That's the one I did finish back in the day. And that's a really charming, fun game with really good mechanics. But Breath of the Wild. Now, did you play through the campaign? All the way through?
Yeah, and I was going to side with you too, is that Wind Waker, like, I think might be my personal favorite, because I love the art style, I love the mechanics There's a lot of things I love about that game. We can talk more about Wind Waker in a second, but yeah, Breath of the Wild, I played through the whole thing. Actually, the month it came out, I basically just played that. Like, I couldn't tear myself away from it. I think I put 70 hours into it, which is unheard of for me. I don't really sit and play single player games for that long, which is
nice.
Yeah, pretty, it's pretty wild, you might say.
Whoa, yeah. Did you get through all the temples? Because I know I don't think you have to do every single temple, right?
Yeah, like, that's what's cool about the game is it's completely open-ended. Like, I guess you could consider it very similar to the original Legend of Zelda on the NES, where it's completely open-ended and you could do the dungeons in whatever, you know, order you want to do them. However, there's been people who have done speed runs where they run right to Ganon and go after him because you don't actually have to go to the temples. The temples, basically, when you complete them, they just make you a bit stronger. Mm. They give you more hearts, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But you don't need them. If you could run up there with naked Link if you want and try to take out Ganon, you know, with no clothes
on. Hey now.
Yeah. Hey now.
What's up with that? Well, I'll have to seek that out. Well, no, because then it would spoil because I haven't seen the ending, so never mind. But yeah, that's a fun game. I could see how you could get sucked into it for 70 hours easily.
Yeah.
You know, but again, like for people who have never kind of jumped into the series and they might be looking to that, there's a lot of games that's, you know, it got game of the year as well. It was well deserved. I mean, it's so solid, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was playing at 30 frames a second and I'm kind of a stickler for, you know, high performance and everything, but just on the Wii U, it was still fine and perfectly playable. And I didn't feel like I was like a second class citizen for playing on a Wii U because my son, my oldest has a Switch and he kind of took it to school with him. So, and I have yet to play anything on the Switch, to be honest with you. So, but I will say, you know, I do enjoy the Game Boy games, but I have this horrible habit of starting them and then taking a couple of days off. And then you realize, where was I? What was I doing? Where do I need to go? Where do I need to go next? And then you just, and now it's just a can of worms. But the one I played the most of on the Game Boy was the Minish Cap, which was by Capcom. It wasn't even a first party Nintendo game, but that's a great game.
Yes, that is a solid game. And I actually have a very funny story behind that, which was when that game came out, I was playing it on my because I think it was GBA, right? Game Boy.
Yeah, it's GBA. Yeah.
So at the time when I had my SP, the clamshell one that flips up, you know, that has the screen on top instead of.
Oh, yeah.
Middle. Yeah, it was a great little system. I was so into this game. And at the time, I'm in college and I'm working full time and everything. I was at college. And in between breaks, I'm playing like an hour of it before the next class and all that. And then after that, I had to zoom to work. And this one day when I got to work, I think I literally had 45 minutes left in the game. Like I knew I was in the final dungeon. I'm at the final boss and everything. So when I got to work, I put my stuff down and I did a couple little chores that I had to do at work. And I went in the bathroom and sat for 45 minutes to like finish the game.
Did you grunt and groan every so often when someone came in? Oh,
yeah. Someone came in, just kind of flushed the toilet like, oh yeah, there it is. Okay.
That's awesome. God, you're hardcore, man. That is hardcore Zelda fan right there.
I couldn't get away from it. I was like, I gotta finish this game, I'm so close.
But yeah, that was that, all the puzzles. And just for people that don't know, the Minish are these little creatures that live kind of between the leaves and, you know, tiny miniature size. So Link has the overworld and he travels the overworld, but then also there's parts of the game where you shrink down and you're kind of in the same area with some similar kind of abilities, but you're in this whole other region. So there's these large, you know, I remember one was the barrel one that you kind of rotate the barrel to kind of solve the puzzle. That's one that jumps out at me, but really clever stuff in all of these games, just the way they take the mechanics of the game and they justify it with a really good, solid story and a reason for the mechanic.
Yeah.
Sometimes it kind of fails. Like there's some games that weren't so great on the DS, but but in general, that's the hallmark of those games. You know,
it is true. And in the Minish Cap too, if you're not a fan of the fairy Navi from Ocarina of Time, hey,
Hey, listen.
If you're not into that, you have a talking bird hat. So
you'll be I didn't even
way
remember
more into that.
I forgot about him. Yeah, and he's talkative too, which is great.
He talks quite a bit, and he's really sarcastic, which is pretty great. But yeah, it's true though. The mechanics of Zelda games have always been really important. Breath of the Wild, just to touch on that again, like that's what makes that game what it is the mechanics, because it's basically like, you know, 20 different systems button up against each other, creating all these crazy things that are happening. It's, you know, one of those situations where you might ride your horse up a hill and you'll see these goblins fighting like a local wolf or something like that, you know, and you're just like, what's going on here? So you could intervene or you could let it play out. You know, there's just all kinds of crazy stuff that goes on in all these games, you know, I'm going back to the question you said about suggesting a game for people. Breath of the Wild is definitely, I think, the 3D one I would suggest, but you got to admit that the 2D games are just as good, if not better. Minish Cap is really up there for me, but A Link to the Past, the one on the SNES, is really good too.
Yeah. Now, I've never played that on SNES. We have it because we have kind of a little console collection here, but I have played the GBA version. I started that one, I think, three times, which is, it's one of those ones where you're like, well, this is the one I have to play. Why haven't I played? So again, it's on the to-do list of like, I need to sit down and really enjoy that game. I will say I played quite a bit of Link Between Worlds. I had a commute before this first job of this job that I have now currently. And I had I was on the subway literally. And so I was playing that, on my commute, into Hollywood. And, that was cool. And again, gameplay mechanics where have you played that one?
Oh yeah. Link that Between one's high Worlds? Up there for me too.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, where again, if people don't know, you kind of Link turns like two dimensional, kind of slide through these cracks and they're kind of portals to other areas in the world. So it's really crazy. Again, gameplay mechanics, but they tie it into the lore and the story so well that when it happens, you go, ooh, I get to do this, you know, I get to do this again. Or you really, you know, they make some really clever puzzles out of it. So yeah, it's a popular series for a reason. I mean, it just every one of the games, I mean, like I say, even the DS versions of Spirit Tracks and I didn't love the input because you kind of just want to just steer Link around. But what was your take on those?
Yeah, Spirit Tracks I did own at a time during the DS years and stuff, but I didn't get too far into it. I don't remember being super, super, you know, fond of that one. But I don't remember disliking it either, really. I kind of just fell off. So I guess that's not really a good sign, right?
Right. Well, it was much more puzzle oriented, which I'm fine with in general. I like the puzzles, but I kind of like the action too. And that's where it kind of didn't grab me. The action wasn't that great.
Gotcha.
You know, so.
I remember the train. That's about all I remember.
Right, right. It was kind of weird. It's kind of a strange kind of segue. They really took the DS kind of part of it way too to heart and kind of, I think it kind of injured the games, but I don't know. I'm sure it has fans, but the one Zelda game that I got enraged playing and I just was like, I am not playing this game. I'm putting it down was, okay. So now I'm spacing out the one on the Wii.
I thought you were going to say Zelda on CDI, that terrible animated.
I would probably rather play that one. Not Breath of the Wild, but the other one, Skyward Sword.
Skyward Sword. Okay. So, what happened with that?
Okay. So I'm playing that and there's the Wii control and you know, where you kind of, you've got the Wiimote and I believe you have the nunchuck, if I remember correctly, for movement and everything. And it just was just to try to do the flight mechanics. Cause that one had a lot to do with like flying through the air and soaring above everything. And I just, it was not connecting with me at all. And there were times where I had issues with control that I was trying one thing and it wouldn't work. I'm like, well, why, what are they doing to me? You know, these guys are killing me. So I just stopped that one. And, I told my kids, I'm like, that's the one Zelda game that actually angers me because I want to play it, but it was impossible.
It's harsh, isn't it? When you have a series that you actually love and then they come out with a game that just doesn't do it for you, you know, It's really sad. And it's weird because Zelda does have a few of those games. You mentioned Skyward Sword, which I've heard many people did not latch onto. Like they said that the tutorial in the beginning is way too long, and they said that the gameplay as it goes on just is not very interesting, which is weird because Twilight Princess before that was like a huge seller. People loved it. That you could turn into the wolf in that one. People were really into that. But yeah, you also had Majora's Mask back on the N64 that people were very unsure about. I don't know if you played that one, Dump Truck, but
I'm really familiar with that one, but no, I have not played it. My oldest son played both of those on N64, and if I'm not mistaken, and on the handhelds, on the 3DS when it came out.
Because it came out the remix.
He was actually able to kind of compare, like, here's what's different and everything. So I got the full rundown. So I'm very familiar with the mechanics of the night and day and the time cycle and everything.
So it's interesting, yeah, because that's the whole thing, is they experiment with almost like time traveling. Like, you put on these masks to go to different areas and become different creatures. But the whole idea is that this moon is going to crash in, you know, on Hyrule or wherever he's supposed to be. I forget. It's been a while since I played it, but it is just a wild nightmare of a game. A lot of people like it's a very divisive game because it's a love it or hate it thing where people love it. They're like, oh, it's so different, it's great. And then there's other people like, it's so different, I can't believe they released this. So it's a very, very interesting the way the series has played out, because I feel like almost every generation of console has a game like that. For this series, even on the NES, the Link Adventure of Link, Zelda 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, side scrolling.
Yeah, that was another one that a lot of people did not like, and myself included. As a kid, I was like, I do not like this game.
Like, where's my over the top kind of viewpoint, over, you know, right, top down stuff? That's, I will say, the original NES version of Zelda, I've just never gotten into. I can't. There's a certain threshold with Atari, and we've talked about this before, but with Atari 2600 and, you know, some NES games, I just can't get into. You can be too low fidelity for my taste, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, I feel like I should play that. I did try it, you know, fairly recently, but I just was like, I just couldn't do it. I'd like bleep bloop, you know. It's like, no, I need some, at least some nice little 16-bit looking guys, you know.
That's funny. So have the old games sort of like moved into novelty for you then?
Yeah. I mean, I'm the one I'm playing now is pretty minimalist, but it's that jump up, you know, to, I would say I'm assuming it's still 8-bit, right? Game Boy is 8-bit, right? Game Boy.
I think so.
Yeah. It's gotta be 8-bit, but it's just what they do with the screen. So I'm playing Link's Awakening DX, which we saw it at one of these shows, and we like to try to get all the games. So we have, a couple different permutations of each one. And we're not crazy. Like, we must have every single different kind there is, but we have so many of them. We're like, hey, we'll pick this one up. It's, you know, $5, whatever. Let's get it.
Right.
So we grabbed that one, and my son's eyes went really wide. He's like, oh, that one's awesome, Dad. And he said, it's very close to the original NES game as far as the mechanics and, you know, how the combat and everything. It's not super, you know, it's just four directions and stuff like that. But he said that there's a lot of really cool RPG elements. So, and I'm finding, I do like the game, I've been playing it, you know, just here and there. But I did encounter something yesterday that I had to turn it off because I was playing on the Game Boy player on my TV, and I had it piped through the stereo, and there's this one dungeon, this music just, I don't know, man, I got a little twitchy, you know, like, you know, like, remember in, you ever seen the movie Young Frankenstein?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like Frau Luca or Cleaning Woman, actually. Cleaning Woman. Whenever that comes up, you know, whenever I'm hearing this music, I just get a little twitch, and you know, I can't handle this, and I can't turn it off. And so there's something about that music is drives me nuts. So I gotta try to finish that damn dungeon and get out of there.
Maybe just turn the sound off, you know.
Yeah.
Go for it. Know, yeah.
There is a mute button, David. Imagine
mute that baby.
I'll just make my own, like, pew, pew. But yeah, I'm trying, you know, I'm making a college try, you know, to try to play through some of these, at least some of them.
The one game that they released that's in the Zelda, I don't even know if you can consider it as a Zelda game, but it is technically a Zelda game, is a game that they call Triforce Heroes. It came out on the 3DS like a few years ago.
Yes, and I've not played that.
It's a multiplayer game that I feel like if you and two of your friends who also have 3DSs played together locally, like just, you know, local connection or whatever, it would be a great game because you're all on the same page and talking to each other and stuff like that. But I played this game online with randos, and I had a terrible, terrible time because there's almost no way you could communicate with these people except for they give you like some built-in, you know, gestures that you could do with Link, you know, mm-hmm. on the D-pad. So you're basically telling people like, oh yeah, thumbs up, good job, that kind of thing, or thumbs down, don't do that. But I got so frustrated because I played it one night for about an hour, and I kept trying to finish this one dungeon, just the one, just to get through it with people. And I could not finish it because the first game was like somebody disconnected. I was like, okay, I'll allow that. You know, shit happens. Mm-hmm. They got disconnected, whatever. But then the next game, we had somebody who just decided to stop moving, so we couldn't continue on. And Nintendo apparently didn't, you know, plan for that to happen. They just thought everybody would do what they're supposed to do and keep moving along. And then the next few games, I just kept getting people who were trolling. Like, we'd get to the boss and they would like purposely not help, or purposely, you know, run themselves off of the side of the cliff or whatever it was. And I just getting so irritated. I was like, I can never play this game again. Like, I can't.
And it doesn't have, does it have AI? Did you have AI or no? You can only play.
So it does have, okay. So the way it works is it's a three Link multiplayer game, and you can play it single player, but it doesn't work great single player because you're the one switching between the Links to do things. Right. And yeah. So you really do need, in the really tense, hard situations, you need everyone to be doing their thing. So it's one of those games that they released. It's like, conceptually, this is a great idea, but execution, this is just not working for me. And it's the one Zelda game I remember putting down, going, I will never play this again.
It's your Skyward Sword.
Totally.
Well, that brings me to, because now I'm looking at the Wikipedia and I'm like, okay, I'm familiar with this game, but I've never watched any gameplay. I never tried it. Haven't really talked to my kids about it. But I will say that now I wasn't a huge fan of Four Swords Adventures, that one for the GameCube. We bought it and we were really excited when it came out because we were big fans of Four Swords. And do you know what the original Four Swords, you know what that was? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, that was like a Link Up game too, right?
Correct. So what it was when Link to the Past came out on the GBA, there was functionality that you could link two GBAs together. And there's just like sort of a mini game. I don't even recall how many levels. I want to say maybe four levels, but it was a co-op. And also, you know, you could do, you know, deathmatch ish type of gameplay. And it had some really nice features. And that was just super exciting. Just like link two of them together. You had to have two copies of the thing. You have the link cable. So the barrier of entry, that's why it's kind of rare. But I guess people responded really well because they made Four Swords Adventures. And I know what you're talking about. You have to, like, for the single player, you have to control four different links and you have to kind of like combine them and switch between them if you're playing single player, and just doesn't really work unless you have, you know, multiplayers. And so like on the GameCube, they're expecting four people to play this thing. And I don't know, it just was one of those kind of, I don't know how successful that game was, but looks like this Triforce series is kind of like the newer kind of iteration of that stuff. But the original Four Swords, when you hooked up the GBA, that's just a fantastic experience. We had so much fun playing that.
That's really cool. And yeah, I remember the hookup stuff with the GameCube and the GBA. That was a big ask back then because you're asking people like, you have to own a GameCube, the GameCube game, and everyone has to have a GBA as well. And it was like, man, like, once you do the math, it's like we're hundreds of dollars into this one game, you know, like,
right. Yeah. We were kind of goofy like that back in the day when my kids were much younger. We were kind of crazy about that stuff. But it, you know, some good fun times. And I guess from what I understand, when the DSi was out, you could download the original Four Swords and play local multiplayer over Wi-Fi, which would have been really cool. I don't know if my kids ever did it, but, that was so that's another way that people could maybe discover that game. Because it had some really nice puzzles and things where, you know, you're, you know, shooting arrows and trying to do switches, and it's all time based and very much a co-op experience, which we've been talking about playing some co-op Quake, you know, that kind of stuff. I'd love to see some of those co-op elements come over to Quake, you know, with the kind of pressure switches and things like that. I'm sure a lot of people would like to do that, but it's for another show, I guess.
Yeah, another show. Now, the last question I have for you, Dunchuck, before we jump into a conversation with Ionis here, is, do you remember the Zelda rap from the commercial?
No.
Okay.
No,
we'll play it here for you.
Okay.
Here we go.
Did you see the latest Nintendo newsletter?
Whoa, nice graphics. I'd like to get my hands on that game.
You mean you haven't played it yet? We can play it on my Nintendo Entertainment System.
It's The Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. Those creatures from Ganon are pretty bad. Octoroks, Tektites, Leavers, too. But with your help, our hero pulls through. Yeah, go, Link. Yeah, get Zelda.
Awesome.
Intense.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. Your parents help you hook it up. The Legend of Zelda sold separately.
Well, this week on the Quakecast, we have a returning guest. He was our first guest, or one of our first guests on the Quakecast, and he's back to talk about some new things happening in the Quake community. It's, without further ado, here's Ionis. Hello, Ionis.
Hey, thanks for having me back. I didn't know I'd be back so soon, but I don't know, there's some stuff that was just burning a hole in my mind that I wanted to talk about. So after a few weeks of begging, you know, you guys were like, I said, fine, okay.
Well, yeah, we are busy. You know, it's hard to get on the Quakecast, so it's, you know. Line out the door.
A guest list, a million names long, people banging on your door at midnight. Hey, what are you going to have me on the cast, guys?
You wouldn't be the first person to kind of sort of insist being a guest. Let's put it that way.
Well, I imagine it's, I mean, how often is there a podcast dedicated to a niche? Actually, it probably happens a lot. Never mind. It probably
does. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, constantly. But I get what you mean.
Yeah, community could be 10 people wide. It might actually have a podcast. Only get 10 downloads. But what's the most obscure game I can think of? Like the Q-Zone podcast.
There you go.
All right, Q-Zone or Jazz Jackrabbit.
Jazz Jackrabbit is a pretty big deep dive. I've never heard of it before the OTP's appearance. I'm like, this is a real game. He's not just making something up.
He sent me a link, I think, before the Quakecast aired, and he before it went live, and he said, oh my God, it's in Good Old Games. Now's your chance. And so I bought it, and I literally went home and played it that night, which was pretty funny. It's fun. It's pretty fast paced for my old bones, but it was fun.
What is it? Is it like a first person shooter? Is it kind of like a
take Mario, Sonic, and gosh, what else? Mega Man, and mix them all together. I'm probably forgetting.
Oh, that sounds about right.
It's almost like a 2D platformer.
Yeah, it's a 2D platformer, and it's all kind of a pixel art, and it's quite old. Gosh, it's like 20. Oh, it's 97, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so it embraces the whole furry culture thing, too. So.
That's true.
Oh, well, definitely. No.
Yeah, he's in. Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it your bag? So anyhow, so let's hear about, getting back to Quake, let's hear about what you've got cooking up.
All right. I'm going to announce it at the end of the month, I hope. I'm probably going to mess up the timing, but it would be ideal for me to put the podcast to go live and for the announcement to come to Funk Message Board. But it's been about, I think the last specific jam that we had was probably, hasn't been that long, Christmas jam 2018 and Halloween jam were both in the past 6 months. Whatever, it's time for a new one.
Yeah.
Well, this is more of a funk jam, though. I mean, it's kind of under the moniker of a funk jam, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. It's kind of, you know, run it from both. I mean, make the main moon. Yeah. Yeah, since that's kind of where all the mappers, they originally that's where you met up with people, you know, talked to people, posted your maps, Funk message board. And even though a lot of people have migrated to Discord, with good reason, I love Discord. I use it very often. I kind of still think of a Funk message board as kind of the main hub of Quake mapping.
Yeah, I can see that.
I agree too. Yeah. It's kind of the place for permanent information, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems appropriate to make the announcement there, but I'm going to be running MapGMX Insomnia, based around CCG's positively, classic episode. And, yeah, I've got enough help from some people so far. Ball's going to be doing some custom textures for me based upon the CCG07 set. And we're going to be using Dump Truck DS's fantastic progs.
Because, oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I think you should have probably asked for it first. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, no pressure. Okay, well...
No, death to monster closets. I just can't do it anymore.
Right. I hear you. Yeah.
I just want to make one map and not have to worry about, you know, having five extra entities and six extra brushes, because I do. It's just habit with me. Whenever I make maps, every monster teleport is its own room, since it's easier for me to troubleshoot if there's issues if it's in a separate room.
Right.
Yeah, so like even my recent speed map that I made for Quake Cat Goes to White Castle, which was a fantastic notion, I think that had like 35 to 40 spawn rooms on its own outside the map.
Bal, I saw Bal, I noticed Bal does the same thing, and it's like, dude, what are you doing? You're nuts.
The troubleshooting and isolating. At least that's my rationale. I don't know what his rationale is.
Well, you will not have to have any monster closets with that particular mod. So, I'm very pleased that this might be a giant disaster, but hopefully not. So we'll find
out. It's a good progs. There's some nice stuff in it. Like CCG07, the original maps, even though there was some custom code in it, it was mostly like ID plus, which is kind of similar to what you're doing in terms of preserving the original feel of the game. But if you want to add custom content, it's there. I mean, you can go above and beyond if you want. I mean, I know there's some people that really like going deep into like custom models and frames and all that other stuff that I don't even mess with, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm sure people do it. And I want them to have that functionality if they want to kind of do something a little extra, shall we say.
Right, cool. Right. That's awesome. Well, and I just brought up the map on Quadicted just to remind myself, and I'm pretty sure I played this recently within the last maybe. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, good. Well, I did.
Good. It's a classic. I actually haven't revisited in a few years as part of the, shall we say, quote unquote, festivities. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing a live playthrough of it the Saturday after I make the announcement, because I was thinking about this when we did our discussion about Zerstörer during the last podcast. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, it's a question classic, kind of like one of the major pillars of the Quake community and custom content. And how there's probably a lot of people that haven't played it. And I was thinking that maps in recent years, CCG07, there doesn't seem to have been many maps that have used that theme. Mm-hmm. But I think back to when it first came out, in the early 2000s, it was rather architecturally revolutionary in a sense, because you had seen curved archways in maps, but the concept of using actually curved architecture in a large-scale fashion wasn't something you had really seen before in maps. And not only that, but the sheer scale of them. When you load the first map, Core Decomposed, and it has 230 monsters in it, that's not exactly, shall we say, rare nowadays, but back then I was like, over 200 monsters in a map? What is this bad man doing? You can't have that many monsters in a map. And it's not exactly, there's occasional like horde ambushes, but it's not like it's, you know, a trodden blast fest of 400 monsters mass teleported in or anything like that. These maps are giant, sprawling labyrinths. The likes of which is, even if the architecture isn't quite up to modern standards, the layout, the execution of it all, it's still absolutely top-notch. So yeah, I thought it might be nice to kind of shine a light on that vital relic from the past.
And it's in the, I'm looking on Quaddicted here. It's in the top three. It's the top three rated map from user ratings. So because Quaddicted has two rating systems. So it has the user ratings and then the rating of the, you know, I guess the admin. So Spirit and whoever else is. Tron and Nikki. Yeah. So they'll rate it one way, and then you've got user ratings, and for both categories, it's way, 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 way up there. So, yeah, it's cool. And it's probably one of the reasons I fired it up not too long ago. Well, that's exciting. Yeah. I'm always wondering, you know, how people make their decisions. And it's just super clear that obviously CCG is great. So you can't really go wrong with like a Honey Jam, already done Rubicon, which, you know, I don't know if there's been a Rubicon Jam, but that would be cool. Rubicon 2, I should say.
I definitely think there's a void, and that's something that should definitely be addressed in the future, especially with iChad's the stuff that he made for the Rubicon Rumble pack, since there's some nice additions in there.
Yeah, I stole quite a bit of it for my prog, so you'll find some of that in there. So that's very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Now I got to make a map.
Yeah, you got to be a part of it, right?
Dang.
You've been slacking the last
I have. I really have.
Since you're making the project that we're going to base the code upon.
Well, I will say, just since we're talking about it, because I actually, RC, I was going to say, hey, can I talk about my prog, since I just, you know, I released a new version yesterday.
How convenient.
Yeah, the release candidate of it. So this is a few weeks ago now as you're hearing this, but hopefully we'll have a final. We'll definitely have a final before this thing starts. Yeah, it's been a lot of work, but I will say, like, I've only written like maybe 20 lines of code. Everything else is like glommed from all these great mods. So, you know, and so I've got, you know, Remake Quake stuff in there. I've got Rubicon 2, Mission Packs, obviously. A little tiny bit of Arcane Dimensions, thanks to Q Mastery, helped me integrate the breakables, sort of inspired by Arcane Dimensions. So, I think people like the breakables now because there's two ways of doing it. There's the easy way where you just kind of make it a funk breakable and you pick a style and that's it, and it breaks, and maybe pick a sound effect. And then there's the real custom one where you can make it whatever you want and have as many, you can have like five different pieces and a bunch of different spawning when it breaks. And so there's a lot more options with that style as well. So people like that. Ladders. One thing that I'm really excited about is you can suspend items in air, which I've always wanted in Quake. And you can also trigger spawn items now as well, which is really, really cool.
Spawn items is really nice. Playing around in Arcane Dimensions, that's kind of, it's a minor thing, but it's something that really helped a lot in maps, you know, with ambushes and stuff and respawning ammo later in the maps to rebalance them after the player has been there once or twice.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So now, cool. Great. That's
good stuff. Now, the custom funks breaksable, I assume it's kind of like a you can spawn point the rubble and such, so kind of trigger it to, I haven't played around with it.
Yeah, you know, I just want to make sure and temper everybody's expectations, because it doesn't have like the velocity stuff that AD has. So when you break it, it just kind of breaks and falls, and there's gravity, normal gravity, and it just drops down. Whereas Arcane, you can hit it and it'll blast way out. And if we want to modify this, I'm not going to be the guy to be able to do it, to be frank. But we could if we, you know, we try to sweet talk somebody to help me do that. But in general, what it is that you are able to make the rubble out of whatever brush you want. So you just make, like, if you had some, you know, some of these CCG textures from, let's say, from Quake 2 that he used, you could just make a little piece of rubble or up to five pieces of rubble and then spawn those as the breakable. So it's not a generic breakable. In other words, it's whatever you kind of want. Whereas AD has a bunch built in that they created. There's no way I was about to tackle that.
So it just dawned on me that means that the breakables that you would have the same texture of the thing being broken.
Correct. Yeah. So you could just make that. So it'll help with this particular mod, because let's say you wanted to go raid Arcane Dimensions, they're not going to have these textures in there. we were trying to make it so that I should say it wasn't me. Keymaster was trying to make my dream come true of actually having the brush in the map. So you could make like a monster closet, room with the breakables in the map. So it was that easy, but that fell short. It's something we can do, but it's way beyond what I can do. And for Keymaster to hit a brick wall, it's a tough issue to solve. So,
and that guy's been going through code of like every single Quake thing ever released for like the past 4 or 5 years. So if he's bumping up against the limits, it's definitely a major difficult problem to solve.
Yeah. So, but with that being said, when you release the WAD for this, some dear person will probably go through and make some rubble for everybody to use. We'll see. I'm not going to volunteer, but. And honestly, it's just because I'm getting busy at work, so I'm not going to have a whole lot of time. That's why I'm kind of trying to get this thing kind of wrapped, new version.
Yeah, I'm terrible at that type of stuff. Like, I was making a nave map for Arcane Dimensions, and I was like, oh, I'm going to make my own custom nave rubble, and I couldn't figure out how it was supposed to work. And I'm like, well, I think I'm just going to use the stock one. Never mind.
Right. Right. Well, so we'll have some cool options. It's really exciting. I'm actually flattered. I was not expecting this. So that's very cool.
Well, hey, thanks for making something that I thought the ID1 Plus Progs was, it was a wonderful idea. Good functionality, makes it anything that makes the ease of mapping increases it is very much worthwhile, because we've all got busy lives, and anytime we can cut down on the dev time, it's going to lead to more stuff being released, in my opinion.
Yeah, roger that.
Oh yeah.
So we should probably ask him about if he's ever played a Zelda game.
That would be negative.
Oh, why? Man.
Well, let me rephrase that. Why the hell haven't you played a Zelda game?
Because it's good. Because it's good swords and shit. I don't know.
Oh, okay. There's no gibs. There's no jibs in it. There's no jibs.
Yeah,
there's no gibs. No weapons being fired. I don't know. I remember when I first got into Nintendo. I had played it once, and I think I wandered around for like 10 minutes, and I'm like, "There's nothing to do." And I didn't know any other friends who played it. I think I just rented it on a whim. I'm like, this is boring. Fuck this guy.
Well, okay.
Yeah, great content right there.
Actually, Zelda is one of the highest rated game series.
Nerd.
Actually.
Well, let's talk about some of the developments in the Quake community. Since we've talked about Wrath for 2 weeks in a row, let's get your take on it. When you encountered this trailer or kind of found out about this, what's your take on this?
I was I had known for a while that there was a Quake engine thing going on, because I'm in regular discussions with Skaki, and he said there was this big Quake related project in the Quake engine that he couldn't talk anything about, but he was doing a mapping for it, and they actually he could use Trench Boom for it as well, which he's a wizard in Trench Boom, so it kind of plays to his strengths. And he was saying that he was making some really, really ambitious stuff, by far the best mapping of his career. And he said he had actually had a map that was just in pure layout brushes without detail added, was like 18,000 brushes or something to that effect.
Oh, God.
So he said that like they were really like pushing the Quake engine to this limit, like making some really cool stuff. But, being a good employee, he wasn't divulging anything. And it was kind of weird seeing throughout the years Mook being like, oh, hey, I'm on the team as well. And then scattered people throughout the community. I'm like, wow, that sounds like they're building something really huge here. And it was kind of nice seeing the trailer, seeing all the stuff that people had built, had been working on. And I don't know, I'm excited for it. I don't play many new games. I don't think I've actually bought a game in close to 5 years, as I mentioned before. But I think I'll be buying this one. and checking it out, because just the talent involved, it's got me really intrigued. And I love the idea of a game made on a 20-year engine be still being, you know, viable to gamers at large.
Mm-hmm.
That has a lot of appeal to me just from, shall we say, a romantic standpoint, that, you know, mm-hmm. you don't need the latest hardware, you know. Older games are fun, in games based on older technology. They may not be the prettiest, but if you get the core gameplay principles right, it's still more than worthwhile. Just kind of, I mean, that's why we're still in the Quake community. It's old, but the formula works. And
yeah,
trying totally. To bring that mentality to a newer game, that has a lot of appeal to me. I'm intrigued. I want to play it.
Cool.
Yeah, he's got a sword on his wrist, though. I mean, is that going to dissuade you from...
I was going to say, what's up?
He's carrying a gun. It cancels it out.
All right, that's true. Okay, fair enough.
Even though I think there is a blade in the game, but my whole argument just fell apart. I say this stuff, but I read A Song of Ice and Fire, so it's not like I'm allergic to fantasy or anything.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I especially love that gun that like shot like was it like discarded teeth or bones or something?
Yeah, fangs or something. The fang blaster.
Fang spitter, I think it was called. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I saw that.
Yeah. It's pretty brilliant way to cover the nail gun aspect of the game. I thought that was great.
Yeah. It's not just like the Quake 2, one of the Quake 2 missions packs, they had the ETF rifle. It wasn't nails, it was flechettes. Like, come on.
Right.
Yeah, come that thing was pushed out very quickly. Very quickly.
It had fantastic level design, but in the first unit in the game, the mines, is one of the best Quake 2 units I've ever played. But after that, the turrets. Oh boy, the turrets.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, every single map after that, it becomes a quick save fest. Walk into a room, get blasted by rocket turrets, reload. Oof. I don't know how the playtesters didn't have anything to say about that. Guys, maybe it's not fun that you're dying every 5 seconds from these, you know, small, like, turret that's 6 inches across.
Right.
It's not about fun. It's about punishing.
What point to feel challenged?
I mean, that being said, I do have to kind of go back and play some of those because, you know, I only played those through once. The original mission packs for Quake 1, I definitely played through the first one. And the second one, I don't recall if I finished it. I probably didn't. But then the Quake 2 ones, I know I was really crazy busy at that time in my life, so it's doubtful that I played through them all the way.
There's worthwhile stuff in both of them. I'm sorry, cut you off, RC.
No. Go ahead.
There's worthwhile stuff in both of them. The Reckoning, the one done by Zatrix, is pretty good. It's pretty good. It's a bit lame at the end that they didn't introduce a new boss, and there's actually only one unmodified enemy in the game. Like, it's kind of funny reading through the booklets and you see the heading new weapons and you read new monsters and it's like four different types of guards. I'm like, these aren't new monsters.
Like, there's a red guard, a green guard, a yellow guard.
This guard has a hyper blaster. This guard has a laser. Okay.
Cool.
But it was really fun to play. I got those missions packs before I had an internet connection, so I didn't have any custom maps to play. So being Star for more Quake, I played those to death.
Yeah, I mean, I worked on a Quake 2 mission pack.
Zero. That was,
yeah, Zero. So that was actually really fun to work on. And the great thing about this is that most of the guys that worked on it went on to professional careers. I was just doing sound design and kind of like moral support and testing and stuff. So I wasn't deeply involved with it, but that was a fun project. And I will say the textures had to be swapped out right at the last minute. So notwithstanding the textures, everything else is really cool on that mission pack.
It still plays pretty well. Like, the second unit stands out really well to me. I believe that was the mines unit.
Mm-hmm.
That one was really, that was probably my favorite. That was really fun. You had like these huge maps, you know, huge monsters with like generous ammo and stuff. And it was good. The large sprawling layouts. Yeah, that unit stands out to me as being, that was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't recall who did that, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Rich Farrelly, who went on to work for Zatrix, and then they changed to Treyarch and Danger Close and all kinds of. Now he's moved around a lot, but yeah, he was great back then. So yeah, it's cool stuff. I mean, mission packs are always fun. I wish there were more, you know, community made, you know, larger projects like, you know, Arcane Dimensions and things like that that we could sink our teeth into. And maybe there will be. Hopefully, there will be.
There was supposedly a mission pack. I had read about this in an article on Planet Quake, maybe 2001. That there was a mission pack for Quake 2 called Vengeance that had been completed but never released. I guess Kill Creek had worked on it. Hmm. There was a week period where I was trying to track down all the former team members and see if I could contact them, see if there was any way that this thing could potentially see release. Unsurprisingly, I received no replies from anyone. This is terrible to admit, but I found phone numbers of people and I'm like, should I call? No, I'm not going to call. We're going to stop. Get into stalker territory.
Dude, I'm just going to stop you right there, sir.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's let this go. But I tried. I just did not have success.
Well, I wonder, have you ever come across Donde, which is, or Donde Q2, his videos, his Quake 2 videos? Because he's going to be guest next time on the show. And I'm just wondering if you ever came across his stuff on YouTube.
No, I will admit that I don't watch a lot of videos.
Gotcha.
Even when friends send me videos like, hey, check this out, I've watched it like 2 months later. I just have no time. I'll watch like 1 minute of you and be like, I'd rather be doing something else. Even if the, even if it's interesting, like, I don't know, maybe it's like this obsessive drive with me. I feel if I'm sitting around just watching something, like I'm wasting time. Like I could be working on something. I could be reading something. Like, yeah, I like to read because, I don't know. I read pretty fast. So like if there's an option of like, you can, what the fuck am I talking about?
I don't know, dude. You lost me.
Example in my mind. Oh, that's what I was. I was, my girlfriend, my wife now, she used to live 2 hours from me. I used to drive up to see her on the weekends. And, I was working my way from Stephen King's The Dark Tower series. And, to help with the ride, I actually bought the fourth book on CD so I could listen to it. I'm like, yeah, this will be great. Within a half hour after buying the whole thing, I never listened to it again. I get so impatient by how slow it is. I'm like, when I can read 400 times faster than the audio thing, I've not scientifically proven, it's just my estimate. I'm like, this is taking forever. Fuck this shit.
that's how my wife is too. She has like sort of a genius reading level. Like she tested this in high school and everything. And she reads a lot. And she said the exact same thing. It's like me, I'm kind of like, I get through the first page in like a half hour, but she's like, you know, through 5 chapters already. It's like, Jesus, woman, you know what you're doing. But yeah, I've never been that fast. It's always been frustrating for me as far as reading goes.
Yeah. When the sixth Harry Potter book came out, I bought it. Copies for both me and my wife, and that entire day I just read it the entire day, and she was still in the first chapter. I'm like, oh, you gotta hurry up and read. She's like, stop it, I'm doing it in my own time. But I want to talk about this. No Okay. And then about 4 months later, we're able to talk about the final chapters.
That would be me. I'm not a fast reader either. I sub vocalize every word, so I have no choice.
Hey, my mind wanders too much.
It's all good.
I'll read the first couple sentences and my mind's wandering to like, all right, what am I going to eat, you know, in an hour here? and then like I go back and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot what the guy was. Okay, this guy was, oh, he's walking this way. Then it turns into like, oh, I gotta remember to fill up my car. Just, it's not even important shit. It's like, I don't know what's going on, but.
I think I have to go rearrange my book collection. I think they may be some out of order. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I get absorbed by it. Like yesterday, I had a lazy Saturday. I had a pretty large sweep of time. I could have been pretty productive on the GMX start map, which I'm working on right now, trying to get it finished before the fact, before I even announce it. I ended up just like reading for 5 hours yesterday, like very little progress to speak of. Oh, well, it happened.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
yep, that's life.
James Corey's The Expanse series. I'm about halfway through. It's fantastic. If you ever heard of the show The Expanse, that was the origin for that.
Right, right.
I was going to say, I heard of the show, but I didn't know it was a book series.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I would almost kind of consider it to A Song of Ice and Fire set on a space backdrop.
Huh. Wow.
That's cool.
It's very, very epic. Good. I've wandered off base so far. What were you really talking about?
What is the show called again? I don't remember. It's Wraithcast. It's the Wraithcast now.
No, it's a bookcast.
Right. There are, none of those.
I guess we're getting close to wrapping it up here, Ines. We always like having you on here, but we heard that you had a big announcement to make.
Yeah, part of the impetus for me to kind of get this GM up and running is that I'm not officially going to retire from mapping or anything, but my spare time is going to... dwindle to nothing because my wife is actually pregnant.
Woohoo! Nice.
Congrats. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't wait.
Get ready.
God, man.
I'm going to get my sleep in now while I can. But
yeah.
Yeah, I suspect that having a child and mapping are not going to be synonymous activities.
I don't know, man. I don't know. The baby sleeps, and they do sleep, you know, in between diaper changes, and they're, you know, get them down, and then you just like, just let me lay down a couple brushes here and there.
4 hours later, I'm like, oh, my alarm's going off. It's time for work. Oh, yeah, great.
Oh, and that's right. You map like your wife reads.
That is exactly true. I'm like, hey, I weighed 10 brushes. That's progress.
They're magical brushes.
Yeah, I want to do this thing right. You know, I want to be, you know, there for my child. And, you know, the easiest, best thing I can do is be present and not, you know, be constantly tapping away at my laptop. So, yeah, my output is going to slow.
Right.
Trickle, if not stop.
And that's the meaning of life, man, is procreation. You heard it here.
Agreed, 100%.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why we're here, right?
Well, congratulations. And if you need any, I got a 20-year-old and a 16-year-old. Gosh, she's almost 17. Here's my advice. Don't do anything I did. Do the exact opposite.
So when I ask you questions, and I'll take what you did and just go the other way. I like it.
Yeah,
a fantastic notion.
No, they're good boys. Dumbtruck,
I got to tell you something real quick. It's unrelated or somewhat related. You have a 16-year-old son.
Right.
I have a 16-year-old cat. So it's a little weird, isn't it?
It's well, he doesn't lick himself that often.
So, I can also ask you for advice, RC. So when
see, there you go.
Treated badly, how did you react?
You'll have to read my book. And I know you read fast, so...
Send it over. I'll devour it. Yeah.
One thing I did want to ask you before we let you go is that, you know, I know you did Harry Potter fanfic that we found out last time. How come there's no Quake fanfiction coming out of your magical fingers?
Well,
I don't know what I just said, but sounded good.
Well, it's funny. A lot of the maps I produce, I have stories. They have backdrop and stories to them that if I were more motivated, I could write out. Like, I actually, since the end of my mapping, heavy involvement in the community is coming to an end, I would like to get my episode GM map done. And I had a very specific story in my mind. It's very clear. I should really try to get that done, because I have an entire prologue written that kind of informs what occurs during those maps and such. So, yeah, I should probably try to get that written.
Cool. And I'll do the audio book on tape version of for you.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
It was a land of darkness.
Oh, yeah. Something. I'll even, I had the idea of, in a lot of books and stuff, you often see, in even movies, a natural disaster. It usually occurs from one viewpoint, and just through plot contrivance, they generally see every aspect of something so that you kind of have an idea of what's exactly happened, but that's not usually how it occurs. Usually, a group of people, disparate people, they'll all experience different parts of a seismic event. And it's only after the fact that their combined knowledge gives you a complete idea of what's going on. So I kind of want to play with that idea.
Huh. Oh, cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, I had kind of an idea of kind of how to put that across in story form. So I would like to get that done. So your question is very relevant to stuff I've been thinking about.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on again. I'm sorry you're under the weather, but feel better. And congratulations on the big news. That's really great. And
yeah, you know, hey, congrats, man.
We have a lot of maps of yours to play. So, you know, that'll tide us over until you get back in the swing of things.
Yeah, in 15 years when the community is like twice as large and I'm like, everyone's producing like AAA quality maps because the standard has risen so high, and I'll produce like my primitive scrawlings. It'll be like cave paintings relative to like Dolly or something.
Right. This is RC. Thanks for listening to the Quakecast. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC.
And I'm Dump Truck. You can find me on YouTube. Just search for Dump Truck _DS.
If you want to cut it right here, my nose is about to burst, so excuse me
for a minute. Yeah, go for it.
Poor guy.
Hold on, I'll leave that.
Oh, man, it's like in the 80s today, RC, in California.
Like, oh, man. Oh, the 80s. Oh, no.
No, I know. I mean, it's, you know, because it's been really cold. We had a rain and cold, and, you know. Hey,
whoa,
that's
you wasn't kidding.
Blow the man down, lad. It's like now in the blue room here, my home office is like, it's just like a converted garage. And so it's either freezing or nuclear hot.
Oh, God, the elephant in the room. Let's not ignore it here.